You can experience Jesus, and when you do, you experience real life.
Previously on Experiencing Real Life.
And we'll be careful to give you all the glory and the honor for it, sir, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible, they're going to put it up here if you don't, but if you have your Bible and you'd like to take notes or follow along, please turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes tonight about how to live by faith. It seems like such a simple thing, but it took me many years to learn
Welcome
how to do that.
Welcome to Experiencing Real Life with founder and senior pastor of Open Door Church,
you know, everybody that
Troy
goes to church
Brewer.
Talks about faith.
Open Door Church is a non-denominational international ministry located at 301 South Dobson Street in Burleson, Texas, in the southern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can find us on the web at opendoorexperience.com. And now, here's Pastor Troy.
All right. Hello, my friends. All right, here we go. Hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you in the mighty name of Jesus. Welcome to Experiencing Real Life Radio Broadcasting. Today, guys, we're going to be doing a really cool podcast from the studios of Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. And you can listen to all of these podcasts by simply going to opendoorexperience.com. Actually, that's not true. It's cool to go to opendoorexperience.com, but actually you go to my website, which is troybrewer.com, and there's actually a podcast section on there. It won't be very much longer, and I'm going to have my own radio app. I sure am. And you'll be able to go and, well, you'll be able to enjoy me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop, Troy Brewer, blah, blah, blah. I'll be right there with Joel Osteen, man. I'm gonna have my own daggum radio channel on Sirius XM someday. Troy Brewer radio channel. Hey, I'm in here not by myself. I'm in here with the Holy Spirit, and then I'm also in here with a good friend of mine by the name of Brother Steve Ashley. How are you, my friend?
I am doing good.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're testing his mic right there. How was that? Was that okay? He's like, yeah, it works good. Guys, you guys can see that Steve Ashley has a great radio voice, and I love radio. I love his voice, but I actually love this guy. Steve has been a good friend of mine. How long have we been friends?
Man, since... Let me see. Dirt came around. It's been years. Yeah.
It's been a long time. Yeah, it has. Time, yeah. It's been a long time. Well, I love you, and I appreciate you being my friend.
Yeah. Well,
and thanks, by the way, for coming in. We're actually recording this on a Sunday today, for coming in on a Sunday and helping me do some radio broadcasts. I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
All right, dude. Okay. So what are we doing here today? What are you thinking?
Well, you know, people have a lot of questions. They want to know who, how, when, you know, how did this come about, you know?
That's fine.
They want to know what's the inner workings, how does this thing all come about, you know? So I threw a couple of things just together real quick. And,
awesome.
And here's one that I
found.
Fall
back and fire away. Here we go.
Fall back. Here we are. Hold on. Here we go. You know, the question that seems to be on a lot of people's minds is, why are you the way you are?
Well, okay, you know what? Before I answer that, how would you say I am before I explain why I'm the way that I am? You know me, and you know me personally. And what would you tell people? What would you tell people about how I am? What is that?
Well, that was a great way of answering that question.
Thank you very much.
That was good. But you know, I think just in the time that we've known you, you know, just from both an individual, and then also as a pastor, and then also as a minister, and then also as a song leader and writer and author and all the different things, the hats that you put on.
I can draw cars with 50 inches.
You can draw. That's right. That's right. Magic tricks are optional.
That's right.
But now the thing is that I think that categorizes you as passion. We think about you, you know, we think about the passion that you have. Whatever you do, you're not going to do it halfway. You're going to go for the wall. You're going to, you know, hit for the bleachers. You're going to go
right.
All the way.
That's right.
And I think that's really what categorizes when we've been in other states and people say, well, what are you guys, where are you from? What are you doing? You know, and we would talk about the food bank. And I think I was laughing this morning talking about loading somebody's car so much that you break the suspension. I mean,
that's true.
You know, that's off the
happening.
Chain.
I mean, it's actually happening. Yeah, we're actually having to load up cars Not with less groceries, but with lighter groceries, because we're putting so much food in people's cars, it's literally ruining the suspension of their cars.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Oh, it's good.
Well,
cool.
and that really in everything that you do. I remember us doing a trunk or treat one time, and, loading the back of the trunk, and the kids would come in with these little old bags, and we'd say, no, come on, go get you a bigger bag, and they'd come that's back right. with another bag. We'd say, no, come on, get you, and it was amazing just the impact, and I think that's Jesus all the
it
way.
It is Jesus. You know? It is. Yeah. Whenever we do our annual Fall Fest, we typically give away somewhere between, I think the least we've ever given away is 5,000 pounds of candy. I think this last year we gave away like 12 or 14,000 pounds of candy. You know, we get it from the Open Door Food Bank, and it's really cool. Okay, so you would define me as passion, and that's true. I'm passionate, and I'm a guy that's like, hey, I'm like, rah, all the time. I can't stand to be bored. I can't stand fuddy-duddiness, whatever that is, and I frankly cannot stand fuddy-duddy people. I just can't. Like, really? You're just going to sit there and just, you know, and assume room temperature before you even die? Like, come on, get up, do something. I'm always thinking about what King David said when he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Yeah. Come on, man, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me what your original question was. What is it?
Well, the original question, let me go back to that, is basically, why are you the way you are? And seriously, what I think we're looking for and what a lot of people want to know is what influenced you to begin when you started to think about ministry? Because, I mean, we've heard a little bit of your history.
Yep.
And what shaped into the type of person that you are. But what really prompted you? What was a light on that you go, man, I know there's more to me than just what I've been experiencing?
Well, that's a great question. Here's what's real, and I want to just throw this out there to you guys. I want to tell you this. What's real is I'm the most reluctant, even though I am a passionate, passionate, passionate person. When we first started all this thing, I really didn't see me as much more other than just a musician, and I had great aspirations for music. But man, when it came to preaching, when it came to being a leader, when it came to being an influencer, I was like, no, that ain't me. I'm a guy. I'm a team player. I want to be in a band. I don't want to even be a solo player. I'm you know, all those kinds of things. But I want to just tell you, man, God's love for me has absolutely changed my life. The Lord's love for me has absolutely changed my life in so many different ways. And God revealing His love to me over and over and over again and showing me, hey, Troy, I am fine with you being Troy. I love you being Troy. Yeah. And then I found out it's okay for me to be me. One of the gifts that I have is I have the gift of realness. You know, I don't wear a mask. I don't try and pretend to be somebody that I'm not. And I really encourage people, dude, you're allowed to be you. Well, I got that from Jesus. I got that from Jesus. The reason why I'm passionate about ministry is because I've tapped into God's love for people, and I can't help but love people the way that God loves people when God's showing me how much He loves me. So whether it's the homeless ministry or whether it is we're saving girls out of sexual trafficking and all those kinds of things. You know what? I want to tell you, it comes from the passion of the Lord towards those people. I totally believe 110% that Jesus Christ is, His heart is breaking over the hurts of people, and I want to help them. My friends, you're listening to Troy Brewer and you're listening to Steve Ashley, and we're going to take a real short break, and we'll be right back with you in 1 minute.
You've been listening to Pastor Troy from Open Door Church. Pastor Troy would like to personally invite you out to visit him at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. You can also watch our services live at opendoorexperience.com. Now, let's get back to Pastor Troy as he continues to preach the Word of God.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Troy Brewer here, and this is a very different radio show. It's one of our podcasts, and I'm here in the studios in Open Door Church, Big Time Burleson, Texas, with my good friend Steve Ashley, and he's firing off questions, and I'm answering those things. My friend, what's the next question that you have?
Well, you know, I couldn't help but look at today's date, 3/12/17.
Okay.
Wonder what those numbers are. They significant? And of course, it all came about because of the book Numbers That Preach. And
yep.
Haven't been ruined. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
In this manner, you know, by all aspects of persona. You know, the thing is, when did you see that being an author and writing books would have some sort of impact in the world at large? What kind of influenced you to start doing books in addition to everything else you were doing?
Well, it's a funny thing that I write books, you know, but I recently, I don't know, about 10 years ago or 5 years ago, saw my old high school principal, and he said, "Troy, how many books have you written?" And at that time, I'd written like 5 or 6. I've written 10 since then. I'm writing 2 right now. And he said, "Troy, how is it that you have come to write books?" He goes, "You couldn't even spell." He goes, "You can't even spell cat. How is it that you come to write cook?" You know, I love to write. I love to tell stories. I love to express myself through writing. And I have to believe that there's an audience. And I'm that way. When I was songwriting back in the day, and that was my whole world, was writing songs. As long as I knew that there was an audience, I could write songs. But as soon as I wasn't sure, you know, where am I going to put this or what again? No, I just couldn't do it. I truly, truly, truly believe that there's an audience for my books. And I think that these books will way outlast me. I know that Numbers That Preach is required reading for seminary students in seminaries all over the world. And that's hilarious to me because, you know, I never got to go to seminary. I never got to go to college. So it's redemption. It's the vengeance of the Lord is what it is that I get to actually, my books are actually in seminaries. And so I love writing and I'm always writing, always.
Well, I think it's an additional expression of the type of person that you are, whether it's music, whether it's whatever it is, it flows out of the inside of you. And it's an inner working that, you know, that has that's happened. And so
it's communication. Yes. and it's sharing your heart. And I never write a book or say, OK, I'm going to. Okay, here, I've got this theme, and I'm just thinking about it, and I want to write a book on it. No, I have to already know it before I write it, because I think that a good preacher or a good teacher or a good communicator is always teaching out of his overflow. So if it's something that's made a tremendous impact on me, then it's something that I want to write about. So I wrote a book called Numbers That Preach, and it's about how God speaks through numbers all over the world, right, or through everything around us. I wrote a book called Good Overcomes Evil. That's one of the themes of my life. I wrote a book called Living Life Forward about going to the next level. It's another huge theme in my life. So my books have to do with, one time I wrote a book called Soul Invasion. Yeah. And I will share this with you guys. The Soul Invasion are the notes that I made for myself when I was going through a big time of depression. And a lot of people don't know that, but I'm happy to tell everybody that. We'd gone through a terrible church split. I had, you know, people who were very close to me were involved in it. It was a big, huge mess. And to keep me from losing my mind, I started just dealing with all of my mindsets that were not kingdom. After it was all over with, I just put it all together and made a book out of it.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. And so, you know, when you're talking about passion and the things like writing a book, and whether you're dealing with so many different ministries, that's one of the things I think that comes up with a lot of people. How in the world do you find time to do so many different things and yet be effective and have an impact in each one of those areas?
Well, again, I have to hardcore manage my time. And so I can't have random parts of my day. There's not a single day of the week that I can just randomly do something unless I schedule randomness. Yeah, right on. I will schedule. I say, you know what? I don't want to book anything for this day. I just want to walk around my ranch. You know, I want to go chunk rocks in a pond. I want to do whatever I want to do that day, but I will actually schedule randomness. But everything in my life is scheduled, and it starts early in the morning and it ends late at night. And the deal is, they're all life-giving things to me. I will not get involved in stuff that is no fun to be involved in. I just can't, because it chews you up and it spits you out and it drains life out of you. And I cannot be creative if I'm full of anxiety. The antithesis of creativity, the kryptonite to creativity, is anxiety. And so, man, I'm just a freak about hope. I'm all about, man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be crazy cool. Hey, I love the difference we're making. I'm always noting transformation. Yeah. So I have to schedule everything. And the second part of that also, Steve, is I have to have awesome teams of people. And there's not very many kinds of people who can hang out with me. The people that are in my leadership team, man, they have to be on. They have to be on, and they have to hang with me. And that's something else, too. I can't stand a work environment that's not fun. We have to have a fun work environment. Yet, man, we're taking on hell with a water pistol in so many different areas. So it takes a unique group of people. It really does.
Yeah, that's awesome. And indeed, it's making an impact around the world.
We have 1 minute left. Go ahead.
We have 1 minute. Yep. Okay. Well, I think This is one thing that I think that when we're looking at the different impact that you have around the world, there are three main areas that seem to be the focal point, and that's feeding those in need, which doesn't just include the homeless, but it includes people that just have a need. They're not,
that's right.
They're trying to get the end of the week to match. Helping little children around the globe,
yes.
As well as here at home, and also saving many times literally kids out of prostitution.
That's correct. Okay, so I tell you what, whenever we come back, I'll hit on all three of those and tell everybody how I got involved with those and tell the stories that goes with that, and also to the ongoing impact that we're doing and how people can get involved if they want to be involved in any of that. And they might not want to get involved with us. They might just want to do it just wherever they're at, because they certainly can. Well, listen, we only have about 20 seconds before the last break, and whenever we come back, we'll visit all these things. My friends, my name is Troy Brewer, and I want to encourage you to go to troybrewer.com, and you can listen to this podcast and many others just like it at your leisure. Now, whenever we come back, we'll address these situations. Hey, hang with us. I'll see you in just a few minutes.
Are you interested in having more access to Pastor Troy's content? Do you ever wish you could watch his conferences again? Are you someone who loves exclusive content? Well, troybrewer.tv is exactly that. At troybrewer.tv, you can see all of Pastor Troy's exclusive content, podcasts, conferences, and so much more. Be sure to drop by and see everything troybrewer.tv has to offer you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you. Troy Brewer, and you're back. I'm back. And I'm back with my good friend, Brother Steve Ashley. We're in the studios here at Open Door Church, and we're doing a very special radio broadcast today, which is actually a podcast. And you can get this podcast and many others just like it by simply going to troybrewer.com. I appreciate everybody all over the world that's listening on the radio, and I love hearing from you guys. By the way, you guys can call the church offices here if you have a question for me, you have some comment, if you want to tell me you hate my guts. No, please don't. We'll hang up on you. Go to area code 817-295-7671, and you can also find me on Facebook. You know, if you'd like to put in your questions or whatever, hey, you can go to, you find me on Facebook, P.S. Troy Brewer, P.S. Troy Brewer, as in Pastor Troy Brewer. And man, we have a great Facebook. Of course, I'm on Twitter. And right now, while we're actually recording this, we are doing a Periscope, which is on Twitter all over the world right now. And I'm waving at everybody right now that's watching on Periscope. I bless all of our Periscope friends. Hello, guys. God bless you so much. Okay, so Brother Steve, fall back and fire away. What else? What other questions do you have for me?
Well, what we were looking for is, there's two really parts of this, but you know, when you're looking at all the different ministries, all the different things that you do, everything that impacts the world, literally, it seems like three particular areas the feeding of the homeless,
yep,
or feeding those that are in need. I mean, a lot of times people just think, well, man, these guys they're homeless. They don't have, you know, but many times is that they're just trying to make the week last.
They don't
have enough for the whole month. So I know that's in your heart,
yep,
you know, to do that. Also helping little children around the world. Creating orphanages and why that's important to you,
yes,
what sparked that on.
Yes.
And then last, literally saving kids out of prostitution, that, you know, how that all came about.
Okay, well, for one thing, when it comes to feeding people, we started a food bank out of the back of my truck about 25 years ago, and we just remained faithful. And I did it because I knew some isolated elderly people that needed food, and that was it. And I only knew one guy, and then one guy turned into two guys, and then three people, and then four people. And before long, Leanna and I and all four of my kids, Benjamin Allen Brewer is actually he's my radio producer, and he's actually in here in the booth right now. And Ben, you remember, right, being a little boy, me hauling you around and taking food to people, right on? Yep. So, but now today, what's real is from the very beginning, I've had a passion for helping people that just need help, because that's the heart of Jesus towards people, Steve. It just is. And one of the cool things, people don't have to be starving to death in order for you to bless people with food. You know, I hear like religious people ask me, now in the name of accountability, how exactly do you know that these people need your food? Well, I've never met anybody that didn't need food. I've never come across a single human being in my life that it wouldn't be a blessing to them to give away food. So we give away about 5 million pounds of food a year now to over 50,000 people here in Johnson County. And then when it comes to, what was the other one? Obviously, it's kids.
Helping children around the world. orphanages?
I actually found a baby in a trash dump in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I found a baby. We were in the trash dump. We were feeding people in the trash dump, and we were doing something really cool. And I actually found a child. I thought it was a doll, but it was actually a baby boy. He was only about 5 hours old, covered with filth that I can't even describe, bugs all over him. And to make a long story short, you know, I took him to the hospital and he lived. And it was a very dramatic, very epic day full of all kinds of things. And I called my wife and said, "You're not gonna believe what I found today." And she's like, "Bring me that baby. I need that baby." And I'm like, "He's not a puppy. I'm not bringing him home." We already had six kids at the house. I had my four biological children and two other teenage girls that were living with us at that time. And I was in my lower 20s, you know. I was, you know, probably 25, 26, actually. And like, wow, you know, no way. So anyway, I went to the church. I was like, "I'm not sneaking this kid across the border." And Leanna said, "No, you're going to." I was like, "No, I'm not." And I just hung up the phone and I went and asked the church, you got to love this child. You got to bless this child. I'll start sending a check every month. And I want to just tell you that that child today is, he's either 21 or 22 years old. I haven't seen him in probably, it's been a while since I've seen him, but he's actually in college, and he's in his third year of college. Wow. in Mexico City today, and he's just beautiful. So it started off with one kid, and then they told everybody, the church, it's a tiny church, they told everybody and their dog. Some crazy gringo found a baby in the trash dump, and now he's sending a check every month. And somebody dropped off another one, and then somebody dropped off another one, and somebody dropped off another one. And so now we have, we have somewhere around 2,000 kids in our orphans, in our orphanages. It happened because my wife and I were in Uganda, East Africa, just about the same time, just a couple of years after this. And there was a little boy by the name of Colin. He was the same age as my son, Benjamin. So I know he's grown up now, though I haven't seen him in forever. But Colin came to us, and he was literally starving to death, and he was an orphan. He showed us where he slept on the ground, and my wife just was like, "You know what? I know that there's millions of kids that are going through this, but this is one child that has a name to me and a face to me." And so Leanna was just adamant about, "We're going to take care of this kid." So we got this kid into a boarding school in not Kampala, but actually Fort Portal, Uganda, which is up against the Rwenzori Mountains in western Uganda on the way to the Congo. And we got him in school, and then we started visiting him, and we started supporting him, and then we supported another one and another one and another one. And then finally my wife just went and bought 20 acres of land, Steve, in Uganda. Mm-hmm. She bought 20 acres of land, and we built an entire village. And we have, I don't know, depending on what time of year it is, somewhere between 400 and 700 students that are in our school. And then we have schools. We have a church there. We have a plantation there, you know, a banana plantation. We have a medical clinic, all kinds of cool stuff. So we actually have two orphanages in Uganda, East Africa. We have two in Vishakhapatnam, India, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge Indian fanatic. I love India. We have a couple in Mexico. We also have one now we've been a part of this ministry for I don't know how many years now, but we actually have one on the Amazon River, and we take several trips a year down to the Amazon. So again, God Almighty gave us this, and we didn't have anything to offer except for being faithful, and then the Lord blessed it.
Wow. And you know, that's really important. In fact, I'll just say that as a part of the testimony, we went on one of the trips to Matamoros with you.
Right on.
And I think that I encourage everybody, you know, if you have a chance and they can be a part of one of these mission trips, because you do these periodically throughout
the year. Yeah, we take people with us.
I would encourage you, send your kids, send your teenagers, send them.
Come go with us.
It will make a difference in their lives. I know that some of the gentlemen just came back from Uganda, and I'll let you talk about that at some point, you know, as far as how that impacted their lives. But I just remember the one scene that we saw when we were there, and these little kids were coming out running from the dump, and we kept hearing all this beeps, beep, beep, beep. And what it was dump trucks coming in with shrimp that were just the hulls from the shrimp.
Yes.
And they were dumping it into the dump, and I saw these kids running to go to it, and we couldn't figure out what in the world was going on, and they were scavenging whatever was left over, whatever they could do.
That's correct.
I mean, it broke our heart. And so when you see those kind of images and you see those kind of things, you just can't remain idle. You've got to get involved. You've got to get plugged in.
No, it'll change your life. It'll absolutely change your life. And that leads me into the third part of that, because what's real is all those people that were living in the trash dump and having their kids in the trash dump were there because they're slaves. They're there because they owe the cartel money, and they didn't want to prostitute their bodies, so they were forced to go work in the trash dump. And that's something, a work that we, it was a thing that got us into buying human beings, was actually the thing that you saw was we begin to pay off the debts of those people so that we could literally liberate these human beings and free these human beings. And then that turned into actually targeting girls who are being prostituted, finding out what their situation was, paying the people off that own these girls, and then building homes for them and bringing them into places. You know, I just have about 20 seconds left before the music starts. And I want to tell you, Steve, that's some good questions, man. That's some good stuff, man. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Steve Ashley. And I want to tell you guys, Steve is a professional radio voice. And if you would like to use him for a commercial or something like that, you can call up here at the church at area code 817-295-7671. Has a voice and he will travel. Boom. There are the drums right there. The music has changed. And my friends, you've been listening to a very special radio broadcast, which is actually a podcast that we record and we air at troybrewer.com. It's free. All you got to do is go there and check it out. And then, of course, we air this on Fridays on the Penfold Radio Network from coast to coast, and a few other networks as well, including my friends on Texas Red Heart Radio, and this stuff that goes all over the world. But, you know, whenever Steve was asking, hey, what about how did you get into literally liberating girls out of sexual slavery? Again, it started off randomly, and then we changed from random to strategic. The random part was because I'm a middle-aged white guy, and people assumed, because I'm a middle-aged white guy stomping around in all these slums in the world, they thought that I was a sexual tourist. Sexual tourism from Europe and from the United States of America is just rampant, and people are going there and they're molesting children and they're getting away with it, and people would just assume that that was what I was doing. So they would actually bring me little girls and say, do you want to buy this one, do you want to buy that one? And I would say yes, I want to buy that kid. And I would buy those kids and I'd put them in our orphanage and I would say, nobody's ever going to hurt you again. Look, we did that randomly for years and years and years. But last year, my friends, we started doing that strategically. We started troybrewer.com. We started troybrewer.tv. And we also started answerinternational.org. And we started these things so that we would actually have a budget to buy human beings. We were able to buy 72 human beings and set 72 little girls free. We're talking about the youngest of the 72 are 11. There's two 11-year-old girls that are actually set free now, and the oldest was 27. So all these girls range from 11 years old to 27 years old. Guys, I have 52 targeted that I need to save. I can't do it if you don't partner with me. Go to troybrewer.com. Bye-bye, my friends.
The Bible tells us we're to set the captives free, feed the hungry, and take care of the weak, yet most of us don't even know where to begin. Well, my friends, I'm happy to tell you that if you partner with TroyBrewer.tv, you can do just that. TroyBrewer.tv is full of exclusive content, conferences, and so much more to help you grow. Not only that, but the subscription price you pay helps TBM support starving people worldwide. From India to Uganda, or even in your backyard, you can help support starving people around the world. TBM is setting the captives free and helping the helpless, all with your monthly subscription. For more information, go to troybrewer.tv.